Hello, hello, family. Welcome to The Pulse, episode 138. I'm Shay Wilbur, the media director for all things Troy Brewer Ministries and Open Door Church and everything in this house. And I'm so happy to be with all of our Pulse fam today. Obviously, I'm not Pastor Troy. I say this every time I'm in this chair. It's big shoes to fill, okay? I understand that you probably came here for Pastor Troy for a word from him. And don't worry, we have that for you. We have it for you in just a moment, but hang tight. We will get there. First of all, we're just happy that you joined us. And I wanted to come on and just welcome you here in person before we get to that. And just say, we're happy that you're part of our fam. And from wherever you are joining us around the globe, we're just thankful that you're here. And Rebecca, I know we always have so many people that join us every single week from literally different countries.
I just love that we have multiple nations. We have Canada in the house. We have Belize in the house. We have Mexico. We have Argentina in the house. Wherever you are watching from, type in your first name and where you're from. This is how you're able to be a media missionary. This is how we are able to share the gospel all over the world, and we are able to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Don't forget that anytime during the broadcast, you can call us for prayer, for intercession at 877-413-088. Or if you want to get involved and you're like, hey, I want to sow a seed today, you can call that number, or you can go to troybrewer.com, or you can mail us at P.O. Box 3775 Burleson, Texas 76097. And it's great to see all these different countries from all over the world.
I know. And I mean, it's cool, especially because Pastor Troy is in another country right now.
He is.
And he actually technically, he's probably still in Japan. And I'm sure we're going to be getting some updates from him shortly, but he also is like, this is a ministry trip that he's on, but also he's going to have some special time with Pastor Leanna. So once it gets to that part, I think like his phone's going to get taken and we're not really going to get to hear from him, which is good. He needs to unplug. Like he is on all the time, because the work that we do never stops. And so his brain never stops.
Absolutely.
And so, and honestly, the opportunities to rescue, they don't end. And so we're always saying yes to those. And, you know, if you've been following us for a while, you know, we have so many new rescue stories every single week. So make sure you are following closely along our social media, if you want to know the latest updates with all of that, because we're going to be continuing to update. Even though Pastor Troy is on a trip, we're going to be continuing to update all of those stories. And we've shared some over the past week that have just been so incredibly moving. And it's really cool to see like the work that the Lord is still doing here.
Amen. Yeah. And talking about appearances, he has been in different shows this week, right? So you've been there with him?
Yeah, Pastor Troy has been, he's been not only really busy with the rescue stuff, but God's been opening up all these doors and giving us all these platforms on other shows to get the word out and to get new eyes on this house. And it's just such God's timing, because we have all these projects that we need to fund. We have this new rescue home in Branson, Missouri, and we have a ton of funds that we need to raise for that. And so many of you guys actually, shout out to our Pulse family, because you guys actually asked us, you said, hey, can we have a video that we can share to help raise funds for this?
Wow.
And so I want to let you know, we did post that on Troy's social media. So if you go back to Pastor Troy's Instagram, I got to pull it up here really quick. We have a video, and he filmed it in his office where he's just kind of sharing his heart for this new home, this rescue home. And we did that for you guys so that you could share it around. I believe it is this one. I don't know. Go to his Instagram. It's on there. I think it's this one. Yes. This one, you can see Pastor Troy is wearing that shirt in it. Share this video, share it, let people know what God is doing and how they can be a part of it by just donating, supporting. You can help us get this home that can house 75 pregnant minor girls.
Wow.
And their kids, it's already like ready to go with the beds and all the things. And,
you know,
we touched on it yesterday, but like you and I were just there. We could show some of the pictures if you guys didn't see yesterday's show. Actually it was behind the veil yesterday that we talked about it, but we have pictures from the home. Rebecca and I, we actually went there and stayed there. We toured the home.
Yes.
And I mean, it's beautiful. It needs some work though. So it's not just about raising funds for the home. Mm-hmm. It's also, we have to get things up to date. I mean, they had little cribs already, little bassinets. I had one just like that for my boy. So it was just cool to see this home, to see the beds. All the furniture looks like that, by the way. It's beautiful. The furniture itself is perfect. Super like good to go. The house does need some updating here and there, but man, what an incredible opportunity. And what a space to have this beautiful home in the middle of the mountains for girls who have come out of trafficking to live, to raise their kids, to be surrounded by family, and to be safe. I mean, it's so incredible. So guys, share that video from Pastor Troy's Instagram. We all have a platform. We all have a sphere of influence. Use it. Don't just think, oh, because I'm not Pastor Troy or I'm not Shay or Rebecca, like no one's going to care about what I'm sharing. You have a circle. You have a sphere of influence that God has given you. Access to people that I don't have access to, that Rebecca doesn't have access to, that maybe Pastor Troy doesn't even have access to. So use it, share the videos, help us get the word out and be a media missionary so we can raise the funds for this home and for all the other projects that we have.
I'm so excited. It's so cool. I'm just so excited how God is going to, what did Pastor Troy says? Can't these bones come alive?
Yeah, these dry bones
won't
live.
These live. And we've already been proclaiming it. We've been seeing it. So we prayed, we prophesied, and we're going to see it come to life. So it's going to be amazing for the testimonies that are going to come through from that home and those new girls and the new babies.
Yes, totally.
And you could be part of it just by clicking and sharing this all over the world.
Exactly. And I totally got sidetracked because you actually said, hey, we were talking about appearances.
I'm sorry.
Because no, it was my fault. I got sidetracked because I was excited about the home and wanted to talk to you guys about it. But we want to remind you, if you're watching us here and you're a fan of Pastor Troy, maybe that's how you landed on this channel. Normally it is Pastor Troy hosting the show. Again, we're going to have a word from him in just a moment. But if you want more, of what goes on in this house, go to odx.tv. We have so much content there, especially if you join us as a stage 2 or stage 3 member. All of Pastor Troy's recent speaking engagements. He spoke at Hope Fest. He was on the Counterculture Mom Show. He was on Nino's Corner podcast. He's been on so many different shows lately, and we always load them up on our website there, odx.tv, so you can catch up and get all the good stuff and so you don't miss a thing. So make sure you head on over there and join. And also your membership there, if you join us as a stage 2 or stage 3 member, helps us go to rescue more kids.
Amen.
So do that. I think at this point, we've been talking enough. Give the people what they want. All right.
Pastor Troy,
we are well aware. It's okay. I'm not offended by the fact that like, listen,
we love him too.
We love him too. So we are going to share a word that Pastor Troy gave at Brian Bolt's church, right?
I'm so excited. I believe he's continuing from the resurrection power and the authority that we have. So I'm really excited to tune into this.
That's awesome. So we know you guys are going to be blessed by it. Take a look at this and then we'll join you again at the end of the show.
Hello, blessed and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. I call you blessed. And my name's Troy Allen Brewer. And I'm here with you today in Whittier, California, because I love you and because I'm very, very, very good friends with you and with your church and with Pastor Brian Bolt and his beautiful bride, Pastor Natalie. Way to go, guys. And hang on a second. Can I button my shirt too? Y'all just talk amongst yourselves. It actually takes a village for me to be able to get up and preach. I have to have a lot of help. Man, I have so many good things I want to say to you here today, but I want to just tell you this. I'm actually convicted about how we praise and worship back at Open Door. After being around you guys, it's like, okay, welcome to City Ridge. If I was going to advertise this church, I'd say, ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention, please? Welcome to City Ridge Church, where everybody loves to dance. Like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Right, good God Almighty. I was like, what in the wide, wide world of sports is happening in here? This is awesome! Yes. I love this church. I've been here a couple of times. And you and I partner together because your church partners with me in a huge way to rescue boys and girls out of the horrors of sexual slavery. Last year, you and I together, we rescued 908 kids in 1 year. Come on. Way to go. Way to go, Team Jesus. And friends, we're raising every single one of them. And this year, we've already rescued over 140 just since January 1st. Guys, we're getting them, man. We're getting them. Man, we're doing it. Well, I can't tell you much enough how much I love you guys and how much I appreciate you and your food bank, your women's ministry, your center that you guys have, the amazing missions that y'all do. Come on. Some of you cats, I was with y'all in the Amazon. Some of y'all have been with y'all in Uganda. To be very honest, last time y'all were in Uganda, I was in Uganda as well. And you were doing this gigantic monster crusade. Now, I've been going to Fort Portal for 31 years, and I have a house in Fort Portal, okay? And I have thousands and thousands of kids in Fort Portal that call me Papa Troy. And while we were there, I forgot that Brian was in town. I forgot it. Now, we've been out doing our thing, and we've done rescues, and we just rescued a baby. And I want to tell you, we rescued this baby because the mama had died, and we have teams all over Uganda that whenever a mama dies in childbirth throughout the village, the villagers tend to, it is a traditional thing to take the baby and to kill the baby because the baby is a curse. And these young mamas, some of them 14 years old, some of them 13 years old, they're having babies out there, and they don't have access to any kind of medical care whatsoever, and then they bleed out and they die, and then they take that baby, and let me tell you what they do with them. They throw them into the latrine pit. The latrine pit is a hole in the ground that is 30-something feet deep, and the entire village uses that. They have like an outhouse over it. And so what we do is every time we find out that a mama has died and we go out there and we say, where's the baby? They go, we don't know. We know. That baby is in that septic tank. And I have a son in the Lord that we rescued that it is his job. We literally tie a rope around his ankles and we drop him down into that filth and he fishes that baby out. Guys, we have rescued more than 1,000 of those babies. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's stupid. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, we guys, I wish that y'all could come to my place in Uganda. I always ask Pastor Brian to come, but he's kind of a big deal over there, and he doesn't mess with me. And so, but I'm like, if you guys can, next time y'all are in Uganda, you got to come by our place, and what you'll see is thousands of kids running around that we have literally pulled out of a septic tank way down there. Way down there. And they might have been down there for 2 days or 3 days, and we're hoping that they're still alive. And I'm telling you, that's a heck of a job, but it's a pretty funny thing, man, to drop somebody off down in that hole. And I'm telling you, it's nasty. Nasty. But the young man that actually does that for me, we pulled him out of a hole. Wow. And now he's a rescuer, and that's what it is. That's what it is that he does. Just redemption. Well, redeemed people redeem people. Rescued people rescue people. Amen. Saved people see other people saved. Amen. For those of us like Jeremiah that come up out of the miry clay is a mild euphemism for Jerusalem City septic tank. Well, we have a real job doing that. I'm too fat to go down in that hole or I would. And I typically do not fit in those holes. I tried to go down in one time, and I got stuck halfway down. And I want to tell you, it was a heck to get cleaned up after that. And you're throwing up. And okay, is it okay if I tell you all about messy ministry? Is that all right? Because I want to tell you, real ministry is messy. And it ain't pretty. Real ministry looks like Brian Bolt dancing. It ain't very pretty, but it's the real thing, man. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. No. I'm talking about real ministry. There's lots of mistakes. There's lots of mess involved. Man, when you're actually trying to help people and actually trying to demonstrate the Father's heart to people, it don't look like normal church at all. It don't. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that today as we talk about the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Also, I have to say this too. I'm so honored today to tell you that there's a pastor that is in this house. He pastors a church called Freedom Fellowship Church of Oklahoma City, and he gets the prize for driving the farthest to come to church today. Pastor Wren Schuffman is here. Pastor Wren, would you stand up, man of God? Hey, man, come here. Come here for a minute. Come here. Come here. No. Come here. So I had no idea, man, that you were coming today. I love this dude. I had no idea. We were down there and we were dancing before the Lord. And we were worshiping Jesus. He just came dancing by to kind of let me know he was here. You want to say hi to everybody, Pastor?
Hi. You want me to say something else? I tell you what, I love this guy. I've gotten to know him just a little bit, but I'm looking forward to really getting to know him. He is a powerful man of God. I got to know him first in 2020. Destiny Image sent me his book and they wanted me to interview him and I didn't.
Yeah. Would you like to know this? He's been so convicted of that. He was supposed to interview me. He took one look at me and went, nah, I'm good.
That's kind of true. his book on numbers. I'm like, I don't get all this number stuff. I know there's a thing to it, but I don't get it. So I don't know what to interview him for. But I got to connect to him about 6 months ago, and I just realized, I was like, this is my guy right here. Anyone that knows me knows that ministry needs to have two things. It needs to be fun or I'm not interested. And being dangerous is fun. So if they don't try to kill me, it wasn't a really good day in ministry. Like, I want to do that kind of stuff. Like, I got skinny this year. I can fit in the hole. I can fit in the hole. I'm willing to do it. I'm going to Uganda at the end of this year. So I'm like, well, I'm going now. I know where I'm going.
I can hook you up.
Right? I am going. So I'm so excited to be here. I didn't expect to do that, but I love this man and run with him. I'm excited to run with him. And I need to tell you this, is that he doesn't just seem genuine on the pulpit. He is genuine all the time. He said something that hit me in ministry. I've been in a lot of green rooms, and you see the truth and you see the false. Okay, you see the people that really carry something, and those that just have charisma. They got a little riz on their life, right? And this guy carries something. He said something when I heard him speak the first time, and said, if you don't want to be my best friend, I'm not interested in running with you. I'm not interested in ministry with you. And that's my heart too. And this man actually lives that out. So when he seems very friendly to you and very engaging, that's just not work. That's just not work, Troy. That's how he lives, because the kingdom of God is family first. Amen. Right? You're heirs into a family. A lot of people overcomplicate the signs, wonders, and miracles. I think they overcomplicate it. They go, why can't I be the man of the hour on the stage that sees the kingdom of God come? When I pray, I don't see healings. When I prophesy, like, nothing's accurate. And they make it about a gift instead of a relationship. They make it a gift. Did you know that your father can just talk to you? Yeah. I want to prophesy. How about just listen to him and say what he says? It's not that complicated. It's relationship. It comes in relationship. And so when you have relationship, when you get close to men of God, you just got to get near their elbow. I like to say this. I want to be around people who are leaky. Amen. I want to be around people that if you get too close to them, something rubs off on you. Right? And there's a residue. So, what was that? They're leaky. This man's leaky. Amen? Amen.
I love you, brother.
I love you, man. Well, listen, man, I want to get you guys connected, Pastor Brian, because I love this guy. And so Pastor Brian is one of my very, very best friends. We talk to each other every single week. We actually love each other. And aren't you glad that in the body of Christ you can see a networking happening where there are not egos anymore? And we're promoting each other and we're blessing each other because we're the body of Jesus. We're not the Bloods and the Crips, right? Yeah. We're not the Hatfields and the McCoys. Amen. That ain't us. We're the body of King Jesus. We're supposed to love each other, bless each other, help each other. We're supposed to do that. And I'm just so glad to be his friend and glad to be the friend of this church. I also got to tell you this too. I had the privilege. I can't go anywhere on the planet Earth that I don't have a daughter anywhere. And it's not because I'm the most fertile man in the world and I've been out jumping the fence. It's because I have a hand in rescuing girls, and some of those girls grow up, and I'm just going to say, everybody's like, well, in the body of Jesus, there's no favorites. Baloney. That is unto salvation. That is not the kingdom. In the kingdom, everybody has clothes that vary one from another. You can tell exactly who is God's favorite and exactly who ain't. Whenever Joseph put on the coat of many colors, it's because he was the favorite. In the New Testament and also in the kingdom, you qualify for upgrades within the favor of God of how you lay down your life. And also, too, it has to do with general proximity to the Father. It has to do with proximity to the Father. That's not unto salvation. If you came in here today and you were like, well, I guess I can't be saved. No, I'm not talking about you getting saved. See, friends, we got to learn the difference between salvation and the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, grace means God-given ability to overcome something. In salvation, it means unmerited favor. But in the kingdom, it means, like, Pastor Troy, by the grace of God, I come out of Marlboro country. Yeah, that's the way you say it. God gave you grace. By the grace of God, I don't do drugs. By the grace of God, we rescued 908 kids who were slaves last year. See, man, that's the juice for you to do something. But that ain't under salvation. That's you have to know the difference between salvation and the kingdom. It's all the gospel of Jesus, but within the gospel of Jesus Christ comes a gospel of salvation, and then comes a gospel of the kingdom. When Jesus went about preaching, he didn't go around preaching salvation, salvation, salvation. He preached a message of salvation to one person by the name of Nicodemus. And every other sermon he preached was repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And we in the Western world had done a terrible job of not even understanding what the kingdom is. The kingdom is wherever the king has dominion. Amen. The kingdom. Well, I have daughters all over the world, but sometimes I have a favorite daughter. And I'm just telling you this right now. One of my very, 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 very favorite daughters. I love her so much that when I saw her today, I just started, just seeing her makes me want to bawl because I love her so much. I also want to say this too, so that I don't embarrass her. I did not rescue her out of trafficking. Right on. And I want to say that because she's a beautiful young lady, and I don't want anybody to think that you have that sordid past, right? But I just want to tell you, my daughter Tara is here today. She lives here, and she came here to say, Tara, come up here for a minute. Come here. Yeah, come on, man. Come here. Come here. Gummit. You want to just say hi to everybody?
Yeah, for sure. Hi, everybody. It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me. I've known Pastor Troy, Papa Troy, for a very long time. I would say, since I was at least 16, if not before then. Yep. And he's been with me for ages. I was homeless for a while. I was, I used to live in Texas, and that was actually where I met him. I used to go to Open Door Church. I still do. I go online, and then I have a church here. But he's just been so good to me. He really is, it's hard to explain. The person that you see up here, the person that is so genuine, so sweet, so giving, that is exactly who he is behind closed doors as well. You know, when you truly have the blessing to get to know him, he is such a sweet, wonderful, genuine person, and it is no wonder that God has blessed you so much. I love you too.
Thank you so much. Well, yeah, when she was a little girl, her mama and she were homeless, and they were living in their car. And we came across her, and her mom was also, I became a very good friend with her mama. And she has recently passed away. And I saw Tara go from... Tara was a happy homeless child. Yeah, I have no idea what a good girl she is. I just love her. I don't know what else to say. My eye holes are starting to leak a little bit up in here. Hallelujah. Shandadadada. I just start speaking in the... Also, too. I have some friends in here today. Where are my friends that drove all the way down from San Francisco to come down here and be here? Where are you, cats? Hey, there you are, right there. Right there. Man, we honor you guys. And I've never met y'all before, but I'm so glad to see you guys. I look forward to getting to know y'all. Also, too, is there anybody else in here that's part of the ODX family? And you're like, hey, and if you don't know what it is, it's okay. You're part of ODX. Hey, dude, ma'am, dude, you're in the dark, so I can't see. I bless you. Right on. I bless you. Oh, bless you. In Jesus' name, I can see you now. I bless you and call you guys blessed. Y'all, let's be sure and get together. Okay, so this cat came out to Texas recently, and we had a big conference out there. And I told him, hey, man, I'm going to be in California here for the next couple of weeks. Come out and see me. So, y'all, let's be sure and all of us get together, okay? All right. Are y'all ready to do this?
Yeah.
Father, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would release your scroll into this house. Open up a window from heaven, Father, and release a scroll into this house, Lord God, that cannot be ignored and cannot be denied. Let the Spirit of the living God move here in an extraordinary way. God, let there be a spirit of revelation. Let there be a spirit of the fear of the Lord in this house. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, that you'd speak to us. God, confirm words that you have already been speaking to us. And God, show us something brand new, God, that we'd never seen before. Jesus, I pray, God, that all of us would love you more at the end of this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, of course, was Resurrection Sunday. And I know that you guys had a wild service. I didn't see it. And I typically do. I'm not just saying that. On Sunday afternoons, I have a barn, and I like to go to my barn. It's my favorite place on planet Earth. And I live in Hillbilly Central in Texas, and I go and I watch my friends' services for the day. And what I find is they steal a lot of my sermons, but I'm not going to point anybody out. That's not true. It's kind of true. But I steal his stuff, too. Because I watch you guys. I watch you guys all the time. I was like, man, I want to see what City Reach is doing. Man, let's go. And so I sit, and it's usually about a 3 to 4 hour gig where I sit in my barn and I go through my friends' media. I got friends all over the world that are also pastors. And I look and go, dude, and I go through that. Well, when I got home last, I've been pastoring Open Door Church for 31 years now. And whenever I went to church last Sunday for the first time in 31 years, I didn't know what I was going to preach. On an Easter, that's a big deal. Like, no, man, you got to know. Well, I know 1,000 sermons to go with Easter, but I was like, I'm just going to get up there and I'm just going to see. And dude, I want to tell you, I've never done that before because pastors feel a big pressure when it comes Easter. You feel this pressure. And because, you know, folks are going to show up. You know, there's a certain class of people that we love. We call them Christers. And Christers only show up at Christmas and Easter. And you got to get your Christers, man. You got one shot. It's going to be another 6 months before those people show up again. And you're like, you feel this pressure, you know, you feel this thing. And you're like, okay, but I don't feel that anymore. Now, I did. I did for a long, long time. I did. And I can just remember freaking out. My very first Easter service, I'm like, we might have 20 people show up. And we did. I think we had 20 or 21 people our first. And it was like, Katie barred the door. We got a legit church. Like, oh my gosh. And man, I wrote like 10 sermons for that. And I remember shaking, nervous. And I don't know why, except for I was taking it very seriously. I took it just as seriously this year, except for I no longer feel the pressure to perform. I no longer feel the pressure to be sure everything's really good. I feel the fear of the Lord. And in the fear of the Lord, when you love what God loves and when you hate what God hates, the fear of the Lord, right? When you're like, okay, what does... I gotta tell people the resurrection story. I gotta just tell people the dadgum resurrection story. And they're like, well, yeah, but you gotta do it in a really cool way. Well, actually, this last week I just got up and I just said, the world hates the resurrection story. Islam hates the resurrection story. Every single woke group hates the resurrection story. Every limp-wristed pastor in the world does not want to bring up the resurrection story. All over the world today, churches are being threatened to be blown up and people killed because of the resurrection story. I am here today to give the good news of the resurrection story of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his message. This is his story. And we are now the keepers of the flame, and we cannot dilute it because we are here to please the enemies of God. I'm not interested in pleasing the enemies of God. But what if they come to church? Well, sit your butt down and be quiet. Because, listen, this is not for the enemies of God who are like, you better please me or I might reject Jesus. You know what? That's on you. That ain't on me. Like, well, aren't you seeker friendly? I don't know. Are you a seeker? Are you here seeking me or are you seeking King Jesus? If you're here seeking Jesus, then yes, I'm very seeker friendly. If you're seeking me to perform for you, what I have to say to you. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not going to be scared of you. I don't care about what you put on Facebook. I don't give a rip. I'm a fiery man of God Almighty. I'm a bad motor scooter because Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. And that's kind of how I did it. Now, I come across as mean whenever that happens, and I really do preach mean sometimes, and I want to tell you why, because I want to say this as well, because I'm not trying to be nice. Oh, don't even get me started. Like, Pastor Troy, your job as an evangelist is to be nice. Who told you that? Some woke enemy of God told you that. It was not Jesus Christ told you that. Do you know how nice Jesus was? I'm talking about the day that they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. He fashioned a whip and started spanking everybody. That wasn't very nice. He fashioned a whip. He didn't just spontaneously start turning over. He went into town and went, mm-hmm. I see you. I'm going to whoop the fire out of you first. He fashioned a whip. He made a specific whip to go in there and beat people on the day that they celebrated him as a king. I go, I like hippie Jesus. Hippie Jesus is, he cares about my feelings so much. Oh. Listen, I want to just tell you this. The reason why you put your feelings before everybody and everything is because you will not be held responsible for how you think. It is your thinking that controls your feelings. And if you don't feel good, then have a different thought. And that's on you. See, I have the gift of real, and I don't have time to fool around. And I ain't playing. And the Jesus that I serve will show up to Troy Brewer, and I want to tell you, he's kind, but he's not nice. He's a lion, but he ain't a tame one. I have never rescued a child by being nice. Never. Never. I have rescued children by being selfless and being Christ-like and being unafraid. Sometimes we have rescued children by buying guns. Yeah, do you guys know that I have a license in Uganda, East Africa? I'm the only American that has a license to carry 2,000 guns. That's Jesus. Like, I don't think it is. It is if you are a child slave and you're hoping that somebody will love you even though they don't know you, and that they will risk their life and risk their money and risk everything and bust in the door and say, there's a new sheriff in town. We're not here to be nice. We're here to bring Jesus, the liberator, into this place. But I'm nice. I mean, I'm nice. People don't know what the fear of the Lord is, and people don't know what kindness means. Kindness means selflessness. And it doesn't mean nice. It means kind. And love is what? Is love kind or is love nice? Whenever you operate a pulpit or you operate your ministry, I got to have a special grace on me to be nice to everybody. It means you're ready to be compliant to whatever their agenda is. And that ain't Jesus. Listen, Jesus will be happy to show up. He's so faithful, but he ain't going to leave it the same. Never. And he's not going to bow his knee and conform to an ungodly narrative. He's not going to do it. So he doesn't show up being nice. He shows up being kind. And we as the body of Jesus, we have to learn the difference of that. Amen? Well, the reason why I wasn't very nice last Sunday when I got up and preached is because the most important thing in life is knowing Jesus Christ and experiencing his resurrection power. And people will tell you, it won't be nice to me if you tell everybody that Jesus is the only way. Oh, it's not going to be very nice if you start talking about, you know, hey, you know, Tom Hanks and Dan Brown, they're fine with you being a Christian as long as you don't believe in the resurrection. Because that's not very nice to the rest of us who do not believe. I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming back soon. And when he comes back, he's riding on a horse and he's not coming back to be nice. He's coming back to say, this is what I told you would happen. And this is the way that it's going to be from this day forward. I will no longer allow you to rule and reign any longer. He's not coming back to be nice. And so we have been brainwashed into thinking that the only way we can be godly is to be compliant to the enemies of God. That ain't kingdom. And it'll make you rethink everything. Now, we should serve people better than anybody else serves people. We should love people better than anybody else should. Anybody else loves anybody. We should feed people better than anybody else, and we don't care if they believe or if they don't believe. In fact, we're not even feeding them to get them to come to church. We're feeding them because we are the church. Amen. Like, well, don't you care if I get saved or not? Well, yeah, I care, but that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to demonstrate the Father's heart to you. It's up to you if you get saved or not. Oh, see, I'm a different bird. I'm not jumping through those hoops and playing those silly games. I refuse to do it. Our food bank, we have a food bank. We have food banks all over the world. We have one food bank in Managua, Nicaragua, that feeds 100,000 people a month. Our food bank on Saturdays, we typically feed 4,000 people a Saturday. And we've been doing that for 35 years. And I want to just tell you something. I don't care if it's a man in a dress. I don't care what it is. I'm going to feed them, and I'm going to help them, and I'm going to love them. I don't care. Because I said I was going to give away food in the name of Jesus. Guess what you think God thinks I should do? If I took on his name and if I carried his name, I should represent him because I'm doing this in his name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That doesn't mean say a bad word. It means you came in the name of Jesus and you acted like the devil. That's what it means. There are people who never said a bad word in their life, and they take the name of the Lord their God in vain everywhere. Oh, I come in the name of Jesus, but I'm looking at all these young girls. Oh, I come in the name of Jesus, but I see you got a fat wallet. Oh, I'm coming in the name of Jesus, but what? You came in the name of Jesus, boy? You better fear the Lord and do that the way that Jesus does it. Amen. You can go home and have an opinion about anything you want to have an opinion about in your barn, which is why I like to spend so much time there. Well, I will cuss that television. But dude, when I'm out representing Jesus, I have to look like Jesus, act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and treat people like Jesus. And let me tell you, when you're not doing that, when you ditch the word of God, you ditch the holiness of Jesus Christ, when you ditch his power and his authority because you don't want to be offensive and your main priority is to be nice. Be done with that childishness. Be done with that childishness in Jesus' name. That nonsense in Jesus' name. Be done with it. I go, hey man, I'm here to represent Jesus. I'm not here to bow down to you. So the most important thing in life is knowing Jesus Christ and experiencing the power of the resurrection. I'm going to say that again. The most important thing in life is knowing Jesus Christ and experiencing the power of his resurrection. Brother Paul said in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Amen. So we need to be resurrection fanatics. Come on. I mean, we need to think about it all the time. It's one thing for God to show that to us. It's another thing for us to conform our lives to it. Amen. How do you conform your life to the image of his resurrection power? How do you do that? It's one thing for God Almighty to give you the plan. It's another thing for you to conform your life to the image of God's plan. A few weeks ago, this is the perfect timing of the Lord. And it's one of the ways that I recognize I try really hard to map out different voices of the Lord, and I recommend that. Like, what are the things that God always talks to you about? What are they? Like, I never really thought about it. So I want you to start thinking about it. Because there are some conversations you can have with God that every time you go there, God has something to say to you. There's certain themes. There's certain ways. There's certain categories of things that the Lord has designed you to have an intimate and private conversation with him that's constantly ongoing concerning this. And then there are other things that you ask him and he goes, I'm not talking to you about that. And you go, but you talked to Brian Boat. Will you talk to me, sir? like you talked to Brian Boat? And he'll go, no, I'm not going to talk to you like I talked to Brian Boat. I have a daughter named Rhema, and I don't talk to Tara the same way that I talk to my daughter Rhema. I don't talk to Megan, my other biological daughter, the same way that I talk to Rhema, or the same, because it's real. See, when it's fake, it's all uniform. We all got the same haircut. We all wear the same exact clothes. We're all the same race. We all got the same exact hillbilly or urban slang. And we're, that's when you know it's fake. When it's real, there's true diversity. Man, we all come from different backgrounds. We all got different ways to think. We all dress a little bit different. Got this, we got that, we got this, we got that. Unity is not that we all look the same and act the same. Unity is that we are in covenant together and we will never form a mob against each other. Covenant. Same purpose, but not all the same methods. Right on. Follow the same leadership. Yep, praise God. I believe in that. All those different things. But I want to just tell you something. When I'm over here dancing, it don't look like, you know, it does when Tara's dancing. Tara looks cool. And I don't. When Chick Fest up here, the mighty woman of God, when she starts running across, I want to tell you something. I would have an asthma attack before I got right here. I would be already, I'd be like, I'm going to dance. Shout out of here. That's what I do. But the woman of God knows how to do that. Right on. My point is that we got to know Jesus and him resurrected. And I pay attention to the resurrected King of Kings because he's alive and he actually speaks to me. I want to say this too. He speaks to you as well. Like, well, I've been, Pastor Troy, I've been saved for 97 years now, and I ain't never heard God speak. Okay, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you have faith? If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want y'all to raise your hand. I want you to keep it up here for a minute. You got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Faith cometh by hearing. And that does not mean with your physical ear. That means you have heard God speak. If it means your physical ear, if you're deaf, you're going to hell. That means hell is full of deaf people if it means your physical ear. But faith comes by you hearing the Father speak. By you hearing the word of God, which is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. Simon, son of Jonah, no man has revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And by the way, Simon, this is the most principal, elemental, fundamental part of all Christianity. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon Peter, no. Upon the revelation that it's the Father who is speaking to you. The Father is speaking to you. That is fundamental preschool 101. And boy, the church has sure messed that up, hadn't we? Well, let's redeem it. So one of the things that God likes to speak to me about is the timing of things. I'm a time freak. I don't know why the Lord does this, but he talks to me about timing a lot. And he'll go, Troy, did you notice the timing of all this? I go, yep, it's got to be you because you're always talking to me in terms of timing. I've got about 27, I think I've mapped out, places where I know if I'm not hearing God speak, I can go to him in these 27 categories, boom, I'll walk away hearing God speak because he always talks to me about those things. There's other things I come to him about. And he, by the way, he's not limited, of course, and he's also not limited to the ways he speaks to me. This is the difference between the word of God and the voice of God. There's one word, and there are, but there's no limit to the voices of God. God Almighty can speak to you through how the temperature changes. God Almighty can speak to you through anything. Speak to you through numbers. Amen. 12:53. Somebody give me, what is Psalms 125 verse 3? Anybody have any idea what Psalms 125 verse 3 is? I'm interested in knowing now. I just want to know. Somebody pull it up. Psalms 125 verse 3. What is it, buddy? I'll take that word right there. The scepter, which is the granted favor. Do you remember in order for Esther to come into the presence of the king, he had to grant his scepter? Right on. Oh. dude, I want to just unpack that whole scripture now. Okay, I got that from that 12:53 clock, and it was a word for that moment. Right on? Okay, I hear God speak through everything going on around me. I mean, for the invisible things of Him, from the creation of the earth, even His eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. For when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, because they became vain in their imaginations. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. It's Romans 1:20 and Romans 1:21. It says God is speaking through everything around us. So the voices of God, the different avenues that God Almighty brings. Well, He talks to me a lot about timing. So on a Monday night, man, I was tired. And guys, we've been filming all day long, and the Spirit of the Lord had been there. A crammed day for me is a truly crammed day. It doesn't mean you do something in the morning and you do something in the evening. I mean, it's meeting, filming, content, phone call, text. And then you just blink and you spent 10 hours up there. And you're like, okay, let's go. And so we're doing that. It was like getting close to 7 o'clock. I'd had my first meeting at 8 o'clock that morning. And I live about an hour and 10 minutes away from the church. And I was really tired. I thought, man, I need to cancel this last meeting because I don't really know what's going to happen with this. And I don't really know if these are my friends. And they're liable to be in here. And I'm liable to never be able to pry them out of my office. And to me, it's hot tub 30. I'm ready to head home to mama. Amen. And like, I'm ready to make that hour and 10 minute drive home, and I'm ready to see my mama. I hadn't seen her all day. And I'm like, okay. And I thought, and the Spirit of the Lord said, don't do it. Just take the meeting. Do what you said you were going to do. That's a core value I have. Like, you got to do what you said you're going to do. I said, all right, all right. So this lady comes in. She comes in with 9 other people. And she comes in and she says, these are some rescue operators. And I, as soon as I saw them, I knew, oh, those are rescuers, because we have teams of rescuers that rescue kids out of sexual trafficking all over the world. We have 170 some odd employees that's all they do is kick down doors and run intelligence and pull out guns and rescue kids, right? Okay. So as soon as I saw them, I went, oh, operators. Okay. I love operators. It's so cool. And they all come in the room. There was also a district attorney guy. There was also lobbyists from Austin, Texas came in. And they come in and like, what? Okay, we have a 3-hour meeting. Well, they tell me this thing. And they said, Troy, we commission you and we beg you and we threaten you to get a license that nobody in all 50 states has. And it is a license to receive migrant minors who are pregnant. Because these guys had rescued so many of these kids. We're talking about 12 and 13 year old little girls that are pregnant. And what happens is, when you rescue them, we're talking about a 12 or 13 year old little girl, sometimes 11 years old. We've rescued over 500 kids that are between the age of 11 and 12. That are pregnant. And so we know about this. We work with this all the time. Okay, so their deal within the big pickle barrel is this. Okay, so since there is no one who has this license, because it's nearly impossible to get, and different factions in the government will not take responsibility for it, nobody has a proper license for minor migrants who are pregnant. So they'll stay in a house for 29 days. They'll stay in a house for 29 days. They'll stay in a house for 29 days. They'll end up in front of a liberal judge who will turn her back over to her custodial parents, which is the cartel. And it's like, you have to get this. Troy, we are tired of rescuing these kids and seeing them disappear within our system of government. And so I went, okay. They're like, are you going to do it? I went, I'm going to do it. Let's go. And they're like, okay. So we all hugged each other, prayed, asked the Lord to bless it. They vamoosed. I drove home, and I'm like, dang, what am I doing taking on another? There's probably 1,500, some 2,000 kids within that system right now. So as soon as I get this, they're going to turn over 2,000 kids to me. I don't have no home for no 2,000 kids. I don't have that. I have homes all over the world. We have 54 rescue centers. We have over 6,300 children under our care right this second. We're raising over 6,000 kids. But those are all mostly in Mexico and Belize and Peru and Colombia and Brazil and Uganda and Tanzania and Rwanda and India and Nepal and Israel. And I'm like, okay, so what am I going to do? And I'm driving home just going, Lord, you're nuts, Jesus. You're crazy. I've always known you as crazy. I love you, God, that you're crazy. Yes, that's all I had to say is yes, Lord. And I drive home. The next day, I go up to Branson, Missouri, and we're having a family reunion in Branson, Missouri, and which means we have 65 people from Leanna's side of the family crammed into two houses. See, that is a fight waiting for a place to happen to me. And so knowing that that was the deal, which nobody got in a fight, there's such Leanna's family. Who is from here? She's from South El Monte. Yeah, that's where my wife is from. And this is her stomping grounds out here. And also Captain John Arroyo, who's been a pastor on my team for a long time. I know that he's preached here. He's from here. And when he was a little boy, you guys bussed him to children's church here. And he's a pastor on my staff. He's incredible. And so anyway, man, I'm like, hey, I need to go do, I'm going to do this television show. I'm going to do that television show. And I'm going to say, well, the man of God's been called out to go do television. I'm not going to be able to hang out with you guys and play dominoes all day. So I'm like, I'm out. So I go to these movie things. I go do the TV things. And afterwards, Mondo de la Vega reaches over to me. And he's from here too, right? And so Mondo, who's also a really good friend of mine, he's like, has Mondo preached here? Mondo's traveled with me. Mondo said, Pastor Troy, could you use a house that has 31 bedrooms that was made for 75 pregnant girls? This is within 24 hours of me saying yes. This is that night, the next day. And I'm like, I'm just sitting there going, yes. Yes, I do. We go and see this house. I want to tell you, Pastor Brian has actually stayed in this house. Okay, well, I changed the lock, so you can't stay there anymore, brother. So you stayed there for a week, did you really? The house is something, isn't it? Y'all don't worry, I'm not about to pass the hat. It's not about an offering moment. I'm telling you about resurrection power, okay? So we start looking at this place. It's got 30 something bedrooms. It has 75 beds in it. It was built to hold pregnant girls in it. In 2019, they put 70 pregnant girls in this house. They birthed 70 babies in this house. And then in 2020, COVID happened. The goodness of the American government showed up and said, hello, we're here to help. Y'all have to be shut down now because of COVID. And so they shut them down. And then the man of God started having strokes, and he's had 15 strokes since then. So that building has been sitting there empty for the past 5 years. And I didn't learn about it until I said yes the night before. Do you know that your yes is a doorway? Do you know that? Your yes is a doorway. And so I'm sitting there, I'm looking at this place. It's fully furnished. You can walk in there, you can turn on the lights, and you can stay in it like Pastor Brian does from time to time. And Pastor Brian will show up at my house sometimes. I don't even know he's coming. He just walks in the house, goes straight to my refrigerator, and I'm like, wow, Pastor Brian's here. So that house is ready to go. It is locked and loaded. It is ready to go. So now we're at this deal, okay. Do you have several million dollars to buy this? I'm like, no, I don't. But it's okay. We'll find it because we have to do this. I know that this is the heart of the Lord. I know that I don't even live in Branson, Missouri. I live in Somerville County, Texas. I live in Glen Rhodes, Texas is where I live. I was like, I don't care. I'll start coming up here every single week. It's only a 7-hour drive and we got to fill this place up. We got to put these girls in it. And God is doing incredible miracles. And I could spend what little time I have left telling you the testimonies of what is happening. But I'm telling you guys, we're going to get that house. We're going to fill it up with these little girls. And we're going to see them saved in every way a little girl can be saved. So in the midst of all that kind of stuff, I recognize when I find the resurrection power of Jesus a lot in the perfect timing of being at the right place at the right time for the right miracle to happen. Okay, Pastor Troy, I want to be at the right place at the right time for the right miracle to happen. Then say yes and step into it. Because that's where your provision is. Your provision and your miracles, and you will find the resurrection power through a broken heart and just through saying yes. And guys, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Because I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I don't have the most money. I don't have the greatest talent. I don't have any of those things. But I'm going to tell you this. I have a ravenous yes in my spirit. A crazy yes. And I've seen the power of God over and over and over and over and over again. I was doing a television show last week, and it was a lady host, and she asked me, she says, what has your wife thought about you going all over the world and rescuing these kids? Because I want to tell you, in the midst of rescuing kids, which we hire people now to do that, and we have professional people that actually do that. But back in the day, it was just us, and guys, we were nuts. We were crazy, and I do not recommend it. I mean, if you were my friend, I'd be calling you on the phone. Hey, man, you want to go with me to Mexico and help me rescue some kids this week? Maybe, yeah, dude, what are we doing? Well, we're going to go to this brothel, and we're going to go to the bar, and we're going to set up at the bar. We're going to order a bunch of drinks. I'm going to talk to everybody. I'm going to pat everybody on the back. Everybody's going to know that Texans have arrived, and then we're going to ask them if they have any little girls for sale. And they're going to say, yes, I've already checked it out. They have little girls for sale. We're going to pay an extraordinary amount of money, so bring a bunch of cash, and we're going to leave there with those little girls, and we're going to drive off laughing. That's what we did. And it was nuts. I don't know how we didn't get killed. I honestly don't. And they're like, what have your wife thought about all this? I'm like, dude, my wife is crazier than I am. I'm the tame one. That woman's nuts. That woman is something else. And like, what, has she ever been shot at? I'm like, dude, there have been three times I have begged people not to kill her because they have machine guns on her. Three times. Where I was crying. Please don't. Please don't shoot my wife. Please don't. Don't. Don't, don't, don't. Right here, right here, right here. Don't do that. Hey, 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 man, this is not necessary. Hey, 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 this is not necessary. Yeah, that's what they always say is this isn't necessary. Like, no, this really isn't necessary. Listen, listen. And then God Almighty would do miracles. Well, how come you saw those miracles? Because a lot better people than you have been in lesser situations and they got killed. I don't know why, except for to say this. When you say yes to extraordinary things, and when you step into a yes, and when you have a fearless yes in your life, when you do, there's a special grace that comes upon you, and you get away with stuff that nobody else gets away with. My whole testimony with the Lord Jesus Christ is I have gotten away with stuff that nobody else should have gotten away with. I have had buildings given to me. I have been in gunfights. Me and my son got kidnapped in India when my child was 16 years old. And we're still alive today to tell about it. And that brother's 34 years old today. And do you know how we got out of it? You want me to tell you how we got out? We beat the living snot out of the people who were kidnapping us. And see, if we had had an agenda to be nice, my child would be dead to this day. It's like, what I do, Lord, what I do. And I heard God speak. Hit him. Hit him. That's a true story. And then we stole the car after that. We stole the car. Dude, we're in freaking Bombay, man. I'm not going to hitchhike in Bombay. Amen. Man, we're driving back to the dadgum airport. Kidnapped us from the airport. I mean, it was like a real intentional kidnapping. Oh, man, I've gotten away with such stuff, man. I've had the grace of God upon me so many times. Do you guys know how many of you guys have seen the movie Sound of Freedom? Okay, so you know the awesome part in the movie where they go to Leticia, Colombia? And they got the two guys, they get in doctor's clothes, they dress like a doctor, and then they get in a boat pretending they're doctors and they go up to go rescue a little girl. That's my story. They got that from me. That's actually my story. And I want to tell you about the little girl we rescued. I'm not saying that the man that they're portraying has not done amazing things. I'm just telling you, that is my story. I'm the guy that's been based out of Leticia, Colombia for 31 years, pretending to be a doctor, going up the river and rescuing girls. And that one particular little girl on that one trip, which we should have got killed on. We should have. She was 11 years old the day that we rescued her. 11. We rescued her. We got her back. She never heard English in her life. And I told her, you're a good girl. You're a good girl. Okay, today she is an executive for Nike Corporation right here in the United States. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And she came to my conference last year, and she's beautiful, and she's got an awesome husband, and she's got a brand new baby, and you know, and she got up and gave the testimony. Pastor Troy and his team rescued me when I was 11 years old. And I'm gonna tell you, I honest to God thought, yeah, I'm probably gonna get killed. And I wasn't happy about it. I was more like, oh no, I've bitten off more than I can chew. But the Lord rescued us and things are good. It's kind of a private story and I can't tell you all of it. But with that said, we made it out alive, and even though we were attacked and all the things, and we got out with a beautiful little girl who is now a huge executive for Nike Corporation and a very professional woman, loves Jesus all of her heart. I'll tell you this. Her mom, who sold her to this cartel, her mama sold her. After she became an American and after she became very successful and after she became rich, the Spirit of Jesus convicted her and said, you know, you got all this hatred for your mama, and your mom was owned by the cartel as well. And she needed to be rescued, and nobody came and rescued her. I came and rescued you, but nobody ever came to rescue her. This is the Lord talking to her. This is not me talking to her. And Jesus convicted her and said, how is it that you have unforgiveness for your mama who nobody ever came to rescue, and I came to rescue you? So do you know what that crazy woman did? Do you know what she did? She went all the way down to Leticia, Colombia, got in a boat, went up the river, went and found her mom and said, I was once your little girl. This is your grandchild. And I would like for you to come out of this and come back home. I'm going to take you to the United States. You can live with me and I'm going to give you a second chance. That's crazy. It's crazy. And when she was actually at our conference, she had her mom there with her. She's like, no, see, I've been set free and I've been redeemed. I can't be in the bondage of that hatred and unforgiveness anymore because Jesus has set me free. Your yes will change everything if you understand the power of the resurrection. I believe in resurrection power. I believe that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. Trey, who is on my financial board, he has seen us where I was saying yes to multi-million dollar projects when we had no money in the bank. Zero. And I'm like, either Jesus is resurrected or he's not resurrected. And here's the deal. If we go after this and if we fall down because we were going after it, I think that Jesus will pick us up and say, that was an awesome crash. That was outstanding. And I think he'll be proud of me. I think it'll be like when I teach my grandkids to ride a bike. That's what I think. I like to put it this way. If I just talk to all the men in here, ladies, just forget I'm talking to you for just a second. Guys, look. Hey, listen. You need to reach out. Number one, you need to make sure your kids learn how to ride a bike and do that. And get a plan to do that. Look around for kids that don't have dads around. Teach them how to ride a bike. But don't do it when mama is in town. And don't let them see it. Don't even let them know you're teaching them to ride a bike. Hide it from them. Because their first priority is going to be the safety of that child. And friends, when you're teaching a kid to ride a bike, your first priority is not the safety of the child. The first priority is to teach the kid how to ride a bike. Yes, safety matters. Yeah, you got to wear a helmet. Yeah, you got to do this. You probably ought to teach them on grass, but they're liable to get up missing teeth. That's the way it is, man. When you say yes, man, you're going to get out there and say, okay, yes, and you're going to be shaking on your old bicycle. You're going to be shaking and you're going to fall over. Bam, tooth comes flopping out and you're going to be bleeding and you're going to get out going, and Jesus is going to pick you up and go, that was awesome. You got this big old womp eye swollen shut, man. Got some weird yellow thing busting out and you're freaking out and you're traumatized. You're like, I'm never going to get on the back again. Oh, it's horrible. It hurts. And Jesus is going to go, come on, come on, let's get right back up. Dude, I saw that. I was there. I brought a box of Band-Aids. It's good. It's good. Let's go. If you say yes and you fail, I promise you, Jesus will not show up and shame you. He'll show up and say, dude, I've been looking for you to try that for a long time. I'm telling you, he will. Because your yes comes from resurrection power. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He ain't, I'm telling you guys, he's not dead. I'm telling you, he's not. And so that means that I can have hope in anything. I'd be like right now, I'm looking, okay, where am I going to get $3.5 million for that? Where am I going to get another? For every 1,000 kids we rescue, it costs us an additional $2 million. Yeah, see how quiet everybody got? They're like, whoa, whoa, stop, what? Oh, this is why we don't rescue kids. Yeah, it's a money pit. I mean, how many of you guys have raised kids? Yeah, it's a money pit. My kids are in their 30s. And they're still walking around with their hands out, following me around. I got one fixing me. I got one's going to turn 40 years old this year. I'm about to have a 40-year-old little girl. She's biological. I was 7, I think, when she was born. I don't remember. But with that said, I promise you, it is a money pit to raise kids. Imagine raising 6,000, almost 7,000 kids. 7,000 kids that required 11,000 psychiatric treatments last year because they were slaves. See how powerful I am? Did you feel it? You saw it. So no, you can't be afraid. You say yes, not because it's a... You say yes because you know Jesus is resurrected from the dead and it means nothing is impossible. And you live from that place. So you're living from victory. You're not trying to be victorious. You're already victorious. Now you're just trying to line up everything else to look like the fact that you are indeed victorious because Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. I want to ask everybody to stand up if you would. I want to ask my friends to come up here. Jesus. Jesus. Friends, y'all are all world changers. All of you. Amen. And by the way, I was supposed to go all the way through Luke 24 today, and I didn't go to one single verse, and I apologize for that. So just everybody read Luke 24, please. Can y'all do that? I was actually going to preach on the road to Emmaus is what I was going to preach on. And I was going to go through that whole resurrection story. I know that the team actually spent a lot of time loading all that up, and I'm so sorry I didn't do it. I hate that when people do that to us, and they do it all the time because they're all crazy like I am. And I'm very, very sorry, and I'm so grateful for you guys that spent all that time loading up 10 million scriptures for me this morning, and I didn't get to any of them. But that's okay, because you love me. In Philippians, Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I don't want to just have the information that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. I want to walk in the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. And I feel the Lord right now. I can feel that. Friends, I want to tell you at the beginning of this year, for the second time in the history of our church, something horrible happened. And the horrible thing that happened was a woman got to looking for her 2-year-old, couldn't find him, went out to the pool, and he was at the bottom of the pool. And for the second time, he was resurrected from the dead. That happened this year. Sure did. I'm not making it up. I give you my word, and I promise as a man of God that I've seen that happen twice. We've literally seen babies resurrected from the dead at our church. Now, we have resurrection parties for everybody that dies. Like, what is that? Well, so-and-so's dead. Well, before they haul them off, let's all go over there and let's pray over them. And in the midst of everybody grieving and praying, let's just see if God will raise them up. And do they all get up? No, they don't. But we all had a resurrection party because we believe in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not ashamed to go after it. We're not ashamed to proclaim it. We're not ashamed to live it. And we don't know who's going to get up out of there and who ain't going to get up out of there. You never know when somebody's going to rise up out of that place. Come on. And they're like, let's just go after it. Let's go after it. Okay, well, what if it doesn't happen and we made all this noise and we proclaimed it and it doesn't happen? We made all the noise and we proclaimed it. That's a win. That's a win. I just refuse to live life as if Jesus is not resurrected from the dead. This is how I live. And I get scared all the time. I face scary things. I face scary financial things. I face scary things. You know, I was under investigation by Homeland Security for 4 years. I was following around. Had the FBI come to my house. Had the FBI show up at my church. Had the Internal Revenues come to my church. I was followed around by all the three-letter agencies while they said, "We want you out of the child rescuing business. We're going to find something on you. Drop it. Drop it now." And I was like, no. Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and I have to answer him. Now, I'm actually friends with Homeland Security. And a month ago, Homeland Security set me up to go to Mexico City and to speak to the World Cup to 1 billion people. And tell them trafficking is real, it's going on here right now, and we got to put a stop to it. And it was Homeland Security who actually did that for me. And then, dude, they have showed me my file. And like, dude, have you ever seen the investigation we did on you? And I'm like, no, let's take a look. And he's like, dude, look at this. Wowzers. Hey, can I tell you something? Like, how come they didn't find anything? Because I already know Jesus is looking at me like that. I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. I'm not scared of anybody's silly investigation. I live in the light. Jesus Christ, one day I'm going to stand before him, and he's going to roll back the Troy Brewer film in front of everybody. That's going to happen with all of us. Everybody's like, yikes. Yeah. Amen. Live life like that. Because he ain't dead. He's resurrected, and he's alive. I think what I'm hoping your takeaway will be from the short time that I spent with you here today is this. Maybe you've been living like Jesus isn't actually resurrected, but maybe he will be someday. As if you've tied in the resurrection to the second coming. Well, yeah, I believe in the resurrection. Someday he'll be. No, he's resurrected right now, right this second. Which means there's not nothing you can't. If any place in your life that is hopeless is under the influence of a lie. If right now, if you're scared about your future, it's because you're not seeing it through the lens that Jesus Christ is resurrected. Right now, if you're ashamed of your past, you're like, I hope nobody ever finds out about that. It's because you're not seeing it through the lens that Jesus Christ is resurrected, and he slapped death and hell in the face for all of us. Amen. If you would ask King David, what's your secret to success, man? This is what he would have said. I have set the Lord continually before me. Amen. He's like, I won't look at anything unless I look at it through the lens of King Jesus. 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Hey, dude, how'd you become the greatest poet that the world has ever seen? And the greatest songwriter. I mean, guys, we're still singing his songs 3,000 years later. I mean, that's more than Lynyrd Skynyrd. How did you do that? He'd say, I set the Lord continually before me. How did you become the greatest king that there ever was? How did that happen? Well, Troy, I set the Lord continually before me. How did you become the greatest warrior that the world has ever seen? Well, I set the Lord continually before me. How did you become the greatest prophet that's ever existed? Well, I set the Lord continually before me. Everything he was great at, he's like, I looked at it through the lens of a resurrected Jesus Christ who sits on a throne and does not lie in a grave. And guys, let there be a move of God in City Reach Church. Let there be a move of God at Open Door Church, where we have set the Lord in his seated position on the throne of God. And we only see our world through the lens that, you know what? I can take on hell with a water pistol because Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. I can take on this financial burden. I can take on this emotional thing. I can take this thing on. I'm not going to be afraid because Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. He's proven his truth. He's proven his character. He's proven he's loved me. He's actually proven he's resurrected, but somehow I actually forgot about it. And I repent. I repent, Father, in the name of Jesus, for forgetting that you are indeed resurrected from the dead. So everybody repeat after me. You guys ready? Father, King Jesus, I come to you.
I come to you.
And I repent.
And I repent.
I forget that you're resurrected.
That you're resurrected.
Not one time. But for all time.
But for all time.
So send your resurrection power.
So send your resurrection power.
And resurrect me.
And resurrect me.
Resurrect my old dreams.
Resurrect my old dreams.
Resurrect my mind.
Resurrect my mind.
My hope.
My hope.
My promise.
My promise.
My destiny.
My destiny.
Resurrect me.
Resurrect me.
And live in me.
And live in me.
And live through me.
And live through me.
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
You are so welcome.
You're so welcome.
To rock my world.
To rock my world.
And change the world through me.
And change the world through me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. City Reach Church, I love you guys. I want to turn this over back to Pastor.
Man, that was so powerful. We told you guys it was going to be powerful. And of course we knew Pastor Troy had this download from the Lord. Plus he's at Brian Bolt's church and they're a wild bunch over there, right, Rebecca?
They are. I love them.
They're wild and we love them. And that was so incredible. And I just feel like since Resurrection Sunday, it's just been like another level of power. And I believe tonight at Open Door Church, it's going to continue because we have Pastor Jerry Sellers in the house.
Yes.
Who is bringing a word. And I love when he preaches. He is so he really puts everything into his sermons and really seeks God. You know, and I believe obviously Pastor Troy does this as well. It's cool to see how anointed all of our pastors are as well.
Absolutely.
And I'm really excited to hear from him. This is just a little tease. If you're like, who is Pastor Jerry Sellers? We haven't seen him before. Watch this.
John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Words are powerful, so powerful that in the beginning that the only thing that was existing or the only thing that did existing was Word. So in the beginning, the only thing there was Word. It was with God, and actually the Word was God. So in the beginning was the Word. That means everything that exists today came out of Word. So if we're created in His image, God, who is with the Word and actually who was the Word. So if we're created in His image, could it be that everything that comes in your life can come out of Word? Well, I don't like the way things are going. Maybe you need to find a Word. If you want something to transpire, you want something to come forth, or you want something to change in your life, maybe you need to really pay attention to what you say.
Oh, so good.
Wow.
That's so good. And it's going to be great tonight. So you guys join us in person. If you can't, 7 p.m., right here. He's going to be teaching on kingdom keys and why your sound matters. So I cannot wait for him to unpack that. It's going to be so great. And then on Sunday, we have Eric Steckelbeck preaching at Open Door Church. You guys have heard us talk about him. You've probably seen him on the show. We've interviewed him. He's interviewed Pastor Troy. He has a show on TBN every night. That's like a news program. He is so awesome. We love him so much.
We do.
He's a friend of the house. And I'm so excited to actually hear him preach.
I know. I'm so excited. I heard Pastor Troy say that he's going to talk about his testimony.
Oh,
and
awesome.
And I'm very excited because I heard a little bit.
Yeah.
But y'all, you're not going to want to miss it.
Yeah,
you have to be in the house.
It's going to be so good. So get here. If there's any way you can get here on Sunday to hear Eric Steckelbeck preach, it's going to be so great. Otherwise, you can tune in, of course, online. We love our online family as well. So, okay, guys. We will see you tonight, 7 p.m., right here at Open Door Church for Pastor Jerry bringing a fire word. Until next time, we call you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye, everyone.